this is our sixth message from the Sermon on the Mount, that part of it that's called the Beatitudes, the part that is at the very beginning of this sermon. Tonight we're going to be down later on in chapter 5, but this morning we're again in that part that starts, every verse starts with blessed are, blessed are. And as we've talked about over the, not the exact past 5 weeks, but the past 5 weeks that we've been in there, that word blessed means happy. And not just the surface type of happy, not type of happiness that comes just from circumstances, but a deep down to the bone, deep down to the core kind of happiness. And this morning, I don't have the time to review. Maybe I will in one of the next two verses, but we got to jump right into the message this morning, because in verse 8, and that's where we are, where it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We're going to have to work a little bit this morning to understand the truth of this. Because you can turn to other parts of the Bible, like in the book of Proverbs, chapter 20, verse 9, where it says, who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from sin? And you go back and you read that verse in its context, and what Solomon is writing in Proverbs is that no one can say that they have a pure heart. No one can say that they on their own can clean up their heart and stand before God with a pure heart. And there's other places in the Bible that say that the heart is wicked and dirty in the sight of God. And then you go to the writings of John, the apostle, in John chapter 1, verse 18, and then again in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 12, and you'll read the same sentence. No man hath seen God at any time. No man hath seen God at any time. Now, some would say, well, then this verse in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, it clashes with other parts of the Bible. I mean, you might not say it contradicts. I mean, that might be too strong a term, but it clashes, that promise that's in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8, clashes with other truths that are in the Bible. And what the Bible seems to be saying is, I mean, if Proverbs says no one can have a pure heart, how can Matthew talk about the pure in heart? And if the Apostle John writes, no man at any time hath seen God, then how can Matthew promise that the pure in heart will see God? I mean, what the Bible seems to be saying, if you put all this together, is if you can do the impossible, purify your heart, then you can see the impossible, see God. But since I can't make my heart pure, how do I claim this promise? If we're lazy in our Bible study, we'll close the book and walk away and miss a blessing. And even as Christians, if we're not careful when we read things like this, we'll get confused. And I want to remind you that our God is not the author of confusion. There's some things in the Bible you got to work at. Some things in the Bible you got to study. Some things in the Bible you got to think about and to eliminate that confusion, to get the truth, to get the blessing. And this verse in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, is one of those verses that we got to work a little bit this morning. The word pure in verse 8 speaks of being purified by fire. Just like you'll take a piece of ore and you want to purify it to get it down to pure iron or pure some other metal, you'll put it in the refiner's fire. That's the word that's used in verse 8 for the word pure. You and I can't purify our hearts, but God can. You and I can't take the sin out of our heart, but God can. I mean, left to our own devices, our heart is wicked and dirty before God. But God is in the refining business. Has been ever since the Garden of Eden, amen? He's in the refining business, and He knows how to take us as His children. And again, I would remind you that these promises that are in the Beatitudes were given to His disciples, not to the vast multitudes, but to His disciples, those that were trying to be like Jesus. And God says, those that have that are pure in heart, and He says, by the way, you can't do that on your own, but I can. What's impossible for you to do is easy for God to do. And He can put us through the furnace of affliction, so to speak, the fires of purifying, and take all the sin out of our heart so that we can say, I can be pure in heart. Now, there's five words. Now, let's move to the word see. Because there's another word we got to work at. There's five different words in the Bible that talk about seeing. Four of those five talk about the work of the eye. What mechanically happens in our eyeball, however you want to say it, when we look at something and we see it. The fifth word that's used for the word see is used in this verse, chapter 8. And what that word see, it doesn't talk about the eye. It talks about being able to perceive, discern, or experience God. Being able to understand what God is like. Being able to understand who God is. Being able to understand how God works. And so what this verse is saying is, blessed are the pure in heart, those that have gone through the fires of God and had their hearts purified, for they shall perceive, discern, and understand God better than those who don't. You see, most of the problems that we have in our Christianity is caused by a messed up view of God. Most of the problems in our Christianity, most of the reasons we don't do the things that we ought to do and do the things we ought not to do, most of the reasons that we're not making progress in our journey to be like Jesus is because we have a messed up view of God. We have an unscriptural view of God. If we don't really see Him like He is, like it talks about in Matthew, this verse 8 of chapter 5, if we don't see Him that way, if we don't experience Him that way, if we don't know Him that way, then we won't serve Him the way that we should. What you think about God and what comes to your mind when I or anybody else mentions the word God determines how you will live your life for Him. And so I ask you this morning to think a little bit. When I mention God, what comes to your mind? When I say the name God or our Heavenly Father, however you want to say it, what comes to your mind? What is He like? Most people have a warped picture of God. I read the results of a survey. I think I shared some of it with you not too long ago, but I'll share some more this morning. They took a survey, people across the United States, and they said, what do you think about Jesus? 44% of those surveyed said that Jesus was a sinner. They have a warped picture of God. My Bible says, He that was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. Jesus was not a sinner, and yet 44% of the people that responded to this survey said Jesus was a sinner. They broke out college students, those that were still in college. 49% of college students surveyed said that Jesus made mistakes. And here's one that really shocked me. Baptists. They broke out Baptists. Not just Southern Baptists, but all sorts of Baptists. 25% of those said Jesus was a sinner. No wonder we live like we do. Dick talked about it in open assembly. I thought he was going to preach a part of my sermon this morning in Sunday school. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5. The prophet Isaiah said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Isaiah said, I saw God. I saw Him sitting upon His throne. It was high and lifted up. And the angels stood about it and praised Him all the time. And what did Isaiah say? Woe is me. Woe is me. I'm a dirty man. I'm a wicked man. And I've seen God. And He's a lot higher than I am. And as Dick pointed out in Sunday school this morning, in that very same chapter, when God said, who will go for us? Who shall I send? Isaiah raised his hand after the angel had brought a colt off the altar there in front of God. and laid it on his lips and says, you've been cleansed from your sin. Isaiah raised his hand when God asked that question. Hey God, here I am. Send me. When you come into the presence of the Almighty God, and when you see Him lifted up high and His glory fills the temple, you will have the same reaction that Isaiah did. Woe is me. I am an unclean man. And when you understand that God is able to purify us and take all our sins away, your reaction is going to be the same as Isaiah's. Here I am. Send me. I'm ready to go. He saw God, Isaiah did, like He really is. How high He is. God said, your ways are not my ways. My ways are higher than yours. Your words are not my words. I speak higher words. And so we, as God's people, need to get the right view of God. We need to see God. And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, it tells us how we can. We have to be purified. And God helps us. Because in every Christian's life, He will send circumstances. He will send temptations or trials, however you want to say it, so that we can be purified. Peter talks about it. 1 Peter chapter 1. Wherein ye greatly rejoice. Now listen to these words. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Here's what Peter was saying. He said, I'm going to rejoice. I'm going through some trials. I'm going through some heavy times in my life. I can't tell you how many folks in our church I don't know if it's the time of year, because we're getting older. I've had several people tell me it's because we're getting older. That's why we're falling apart. But I tell you, we got some folks in our church that are going through some heavy times in their life right now. Not just sickness, but other things that are going on. And Peter says, when those things happen, we ought to rejoice. They may only last for a season, for just a little bit. But here's what he says, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, through it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of the Lord Jesus. But what Peter is saying is, I'm going to rejoice in those trials, because it's through those trials I'm going to be purified. And if I'm purified, I get to see God. Not with the eyes, but I get to experience God. I get to understand how God works more than I do today. He says later on in chapter 4, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. He says it's not a strange thing that's happening to you. God has ordained it. So that when you are tried by that fire, you'll get to see Jesus in ways you never got to see Him before. And you'll get to experience Jesus in ways that nobody, that others don't, because you have gone through the trials. So rejoice. Rejoice. When trials come, when hardships come, when sufferings come, the Bible says they're more precious than gold. They're more precious than anything that this earth has to offer, because we get to see God. Now, again, I know I used Job a few weeks ago, but that's exactly what happened to Job. You go back and you read the book of Job. I mean, here was a man that thought he knew God. Here was a man that thought he understood how God worked. I mean, he was a good man. The Bible says in chapter 1, he eschewed evil, and he was a good man. He helped the poor. He helped those that were needy. He was kind. He worshiped God. I mean, he had a relationship with God. And Job says, I mean, if you went to Job in chapter 1 and asked the question, Job, do you know God? He'd say, yes, I do. I'm close to God. I know God. I mean, every time his children got together, he prayed for them just in case they made a mistake. And he could look at his wealth and say, hey, look, I know God. God's blessed me. Look at everything that he's done. I know God. And you go through and you read the defense that he made. When he lost everything, God came and took his children and took his wealth and took his health. And he was sitting in the garbage dump scraping the sores on his body. And his three friends came to him, said, Job, you're a sinner. You must have done something really bad. God is really punishing you. And you go back and you read in the book of Job how Job defends himself. No. I'm an honorable man. I helped the poor. I did what was right. There was no sin in Job. Nowhere in the book of Job you find a sin other than the sin of pride. But there was no overt sin in Job's life. God wasn't punishing him when he let Satan bring all that into his life. What God was doing was taking this man Job, who thought he knew God, who thought he understood how God worked, and he was putting Job through the fire. In chapter 30, verse 30, here's what Job says. My skin is black upon me, and my bones are burned with heat. My bones are burned with heat. He was going through the fire of God. In chapter 23, he says, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, when he will bring me through the fire, when he brings me through the furnace, I shall come forth as gold. And you go back and look at chapter 42 of Job, where he says, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Here's what Job was saying. I thought I knew God. I thought I understood how he worked. I thought I understood how he thought. And when I considered myself in comparison to God, I didn't think I was such a bad guy. But he says, now that I've come through the fire, now that my bones have burned hot, now that I've been through that purifying fire of God, I see him. And I understand a little bit better what he's like. And when I look at myself in comparison to that God that's high and lifted up, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. That's the view we need to get of God. That's it. That's it. We need to see God high and lifted up. You see, the closer we get to God and the clearer our view of him becomes, the dirtier we become in our own sight. And the more we understand how wicked we are, the closer you get to perfection, the more we realize our imperfection. And I tell you what, when you get to that point in your life, the more the mercy of God and the more the grace of God mean to you. You see, if we think, well, I'm not such a bad guy. Jesus didn't have to suffer much for me. And if you got a messed up view of God, that's what you think. But when you, like Isaiah, look and see God sitting upon that throne, whose thoughts are not our thoughts, whose ways are not our ways, high and lifted up, and see his glory fill heaven, then you say like Job, or you say like Isaiah, woe is me. I'm a dirty, wicked sinner. And I needed the mercy of God and the grace of God more than anybody else that ever lived. We see God. We see God. I want to make 2 points this morning. If you want to have this blessedness that's talked about in chapter 5, verse 8, if you want to have that bone deep happy, 2 things you've got to be willing to do. Number one, you got to be willing to be purged of all your sins. All of them. What sin doth so easily beset you? As I ask myself the same question. What sin don't I want to give up? What sin do I want to hang on to? The Bible says if I want bone-deep happiness, if you want bone-deep happiness, you got to get bone-deep hot. You got to go through that fire. The Bible says you can't serve two masters. You can't grab a hold of Jesus and grab a hold of the world and serve both of them. Here's what's going to happen. I just picked this as just a piece of metal I picked up out of the back room. I'm going to let this represent the world. I'm going to let Dave represent Jesus. I can't be a Christian and hang on to both. I love Jesus and I want to serve him, but there's also some things that I love in the world that I don't want to let go of. God helps us. You know what he does? He gets this thing so hot. This piece of metal, if you put it in the stove, it would get hot. He gets this thing so hot that one of two things is going to happen to me. I'm either going to get burned or I'm going to get blessed. I'm going to get burned if I rebel against God and say, no, I'm not letting go of this. This is one of my favorite sins. This is a thing that, and it ain't that bad. I'm going to hang on to it. Go ahead and hang on to it. You'll get burned and you'll be miserable because there's no Christian that's ever going to be happy trying to hang on to the world and hang on to Jesus. It doesn't work that way. So I'm either going to be burned or I'm going to be blessed, and I'll be blessed when this thing gets so hot that I got to let it go. And I'm hanging only on to Jesus. So if you want to be blessed this morning, I guarantee you, God's going to get it hot. He loves you too much not to. He wants you to know him. And whatever is that thing you're hanging on to, that he's got you going through the trials and tribulations to try to get it hot, just go ahead and let go of it. That's the only way you're going to get this happiness that's talked about. And then the second point, you got to see God. You got to see God. In Psalms 121, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says this, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. You know, sometimes we get so focused on getting through the problems that God brings into our life. We get so focused on, boy, I'm going to get through my cancer. I'm going to get through this broken relationship that I have. I'm going to get through this situation with my children. I'm going to get through this pain. I'm going to get through this hurt. I'm going to get through this heartache. And we grit our teeth and we make it through it, but we failed to see why God put us through it in the first place. We fail to see Jesus. I thank God that we live in a day where we have chemotherapy and we have radiations and we have doctors and we have operations. And I'm saying we should use those. And some of you that are so stubborn you won't go to the doctor, shame on you. That's why God lets you live in a day where we have doctors and medicine. You ought to use them. I want to tell you something. Behind every person in this room this morning that's gone through cancer, behind every person in this room that's gone through a heartache, behind every person in this room that's gone through a hurt, there is a Savior who walked beside you through that. Who if we weren't so focused on getting through the problem, we would see and get to know better. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the best thing that happened to them was when they went into the furnace, because they got to walk around and fellowship with the Son of God. I think when Nebuchadnezzar went over to the furnace and said, hey boys, come on out, they said, not yet. We're having too much fun. We're getting a visit with the Savior. We're not going to come out of the fire yet. And that's the same way when we get in the middle of our trials. I know from a human perspective, we want them to end. We want them to be over just as quickly as we can. But if it's in the middle of those that we see Jesus, and if it's in the middle of those we understand him a little bit more and understand how he thinks and who he is, and sometimes we won't want the trials to end. because just like Mandy sang a moment ago, the fellowship is so sweet. So sweet in the middle of trials. Blessed are the pure in heart, those that have been purified by the fires of God, for they shall perceive and understand and discern God. Now, if you're here this morning and you've never been saved, you have no chance of seeing God. I mean, when Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, it was sin that got them kicked out. They fellowshiped with God. That was the best part of the Garden of Eden. They got to walk and talk and visit and fellowship with God. But sin disrupted that. Sin separated them from that fellowship in the same way it separates you. You can't see God. You can't have a relationship with Him if you're still in your sin. The wages of sin is death, separation from God. But the gospel, the good news of the Bible, is that when Jesus went to Calvary, He took all of your sins and all of my sins upon Himself. And as He was nailed to the cross, He paid for every one of our sins, every single one of them. Not one is unpaid. Every single one of them is paid for. And this morning, if you're here and you've never received Christ, you can do it. The Bible says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. If you're here and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you need to do it today. It's the only chance you'll have, the only hope you have of seeing God someday, the only chance you have of being able to even go through these fires that we talked about this morning. God doesn't put lost sinners through the fires of affliction. He puts His children through the fires of affliction. For those that don't know Him, the Holy Spirit is busy inviting them to come. And He says, whosoever shall come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. You've got a Savior that'll take everybody. And if you're here this morning and you've never acted upon that, you've never received Christ as your Savior, would you do it today? Would you do it today? Only hope you have of seeing God is to receive Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the wonderful truth that's in this book. Thank you for loving us enough to put us through the trials of life so that we can see you clearer. And I pray, Father, for all those that are here this morning and for those that are not, that you've got in the furnace and the fire right now. I pray, Father, that we'd be purified. I pray we get a glimpse of our Savior like we've never seen Him before. And then, Father, I pray for those that might be here this morning that don't have any idea what we're talking about because they don't know Jesus. I pray you'd help them see themselves this morning as a sinner. Help them understand that there's a penalty for that sin, but Jesus paid the price. He paid their penalty. And if they come to Him, You will forgive us our sins. You'll give us a home in heaven. And I pray, Father, if there's just one here this morning that's never done that, that right now, in the next few minutes, that they'll get up out of their seat and they'll walk down the aisle and they'll let us take the Bible and show them from the Bible what it is to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Bless the invitation. Use it, Holy Spirit. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.